Now, it's been a busy news day. We did want to leave a good deal of space in this programme, though, to talk about food. And the reason is that this week, the big annual farming conference is underway in Oxford. The Oxford Farming Conference. On the agenda there today was Henry Dimbleby. Now, he was a founder of the Leon food chain, a fast food restaurant with a focus on natural products. But he has been asked by the government to produce some kind of national food strategy, something that pulls together issues of the environment, decarbonising agriculture, public health, of course, animal welfare, food security and trading relations post-Brexit, the whole lot. What needs to change is the question. Now, Henry Dimbleby was appointed last year to come up with a strategy, and this conference is one of his first big public outings to let us know what he's up to. And because Henry Dimbleby knows the enthusiasm of PM and its listeners for food, he suggested we went to the conference to record him there and that I might chair a panel discussion about what he said. So this morning I, in fact, did that. We're going to hear some of the panel discussion later. But first, we thought we'd give you the highlights of his speech. So this is Henry Dimbleby, the man leading the search for a national food strategy. And he began by talking about how food production was successfully increased after the Second World War, but he suggested that the system was created to feed so many people, it had had its own unintended consequences.
It shouldn't surprise us that in the UK, you can now buy 28 different kinds of Kit Kat. They are an easier sell than runner beans, and therefore a more interesting commercial proposition. This isn't a corporate conspiracy dreamed up by some evil genius bent on making us all ill and killing our children. It's economics. In retrospect, we could have foreseen this problem. It has been coming towards us for 70 years, like a tidal wave far offshore that has only recently made landfall as sufficiently large numbers of us are overweight enough to cause serious health problems and a strain on our National Health Service. And it isn't just our health that suffered. As the amount of food being produced from a given area of land increased, so the amount of other life occupying that same land decreased. We lost 44 million birds between 1966 and 2008. We lost 99% of our wildflower meadows, half our ancient woodland, and three quarters of our ponds. I believe we need to start framing the carbon problem as one of both production and consumption. The production-only climate change targets make no sense. What is the point of doing the enormous amount of work required to create a net zero farming economy here if we then just import the carbon from other countries? The same goes for animal welfare, biodiversity, and environmental pollution. It would be wrong to create a gold standard for farming in this country and then incentivize those harms overseas in the form of lower standard food imports. We also need to have a more nuanced discussion about the cost of food. The argument is abysmally framed. On the one side, you have people who say that our food is too cheap, that the price we pay at the supermarket checkout does not represent the true cost to society as a whole. In some cases, you might point out, it doesn't even cover the farmers' costs. On the other side, people argue that increasing the cost of food would make it even harder for the least affluent to put food on the table. These are two separate issues, and they must not be conflated. We need to work out what the true cost of food is and separately understand why some people struggle to afford sufficient food. I'm not saying that food prices should or will rise, only that environmental degradation or widespread ill health is not a viable long-term solution to the problem of poverty. All this may sound daunting, but this is also a time of enormous opportunity. When we faced the last crisis in our food system, our heroes were the farmers who led the way. I believe and trust you will do so again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Henry. What is a food strategy? Is it going to be 7 pages or 700 pages, 7,000 pages? What's your final output going to be?
I think we will have been successful if we create something that creates a unified vision across the country, has a set of metrics so we know how we're doing against them, that the government commits to measuring and reporting, has a number of key actions that the government agreed to take up in the white paper, but also has actions across society and hopefully be picked up by other countries. Every other country in the world is thinking about these issues and no one at the moment is putting the resource into it in the UK. It's
my key takeout is that you are trying to solve quite a lot of problems And you are really advocating a much more interventionist approach. You're not going to get a solution to the consumption problem of people eating too many Kit Kats and the production problem of too much carbon being emitted. You're not going to solve that by just asking people to be nice and to behave better. You are going to spend the entire agricultural subsidy and have a lot of new regulation in order to deliver what you're talking about.
Yes, you know, if you go back to Adam Smith's kind of first principles, there are a lot of externalities in this system that are not reflected in trade. And you have to find, as well as people wanting to change, you have to have government levers to make sure those are represented. I actually think it's much easier, or not much easier, it's easier in agriculture because already there is a large amount of regulation. In the consumer space, it's really tricky because even if you did want to regulate aggressively, the likelihood of doing something that doesn't work and makes the problem worse is quite high. So that is a really difficult space.
OK, some extracts there of Henry Dimbleby and his thinking at the Oxford Farming Conference today. And later in the programme, we'll hear a little bit of the discussion that some of the respondents, for example, the chief executive of Greggs, their responses to what Henry was saying. 28 minutes to six, though, now, and Andrew Peach can give us a summary of the news.